Hello, hello, welcome in to the Email Design Podcast, my fellow email geeks out there. You get to come in here. This is just your home for all things email design, development, and marketing. I am your host, flying solo today for the podcast, Mr. Kevin Mandeville. Jason out sick unexpectedly at last minute, so this is going to be a little impromptu. We're throwing out the show notes today, throwing out what we had scheduled. I'm just going to sit down and sort of freelance a little bit today with the podcast. And I figure what better way to do that than to really just review the most recent email, the first email we sent out at Litmus here for 2018, where, check this, we did not use any tables for our layout. That's right. You heard me. No HTML tables used for layout purposes at all. Now, how on earth did we do this? Well, that's what I want to get into. Spend a few minutes today talking about it here at the podcast. And we like to do experimental things with our Litmus newsletter. I mean, in the past, we haven't used any inline CSS. We've done really interactive emails. We've thrown videos, Twitter feeds in there. And so this time around, we showed how we didn't use any tables. And I wrote about this over at the Litmus community, litmus.com/community, with the write-up here, how we didn't use tables at all. And really, the breakdown is we have to give a major hat tip and thank you to Sir Mark Robbins, who debuted this at Litmus Live last year as a part of our email hack session, where he showed how to do a tableless layout. And so here's the really basic breakdown of how to do it. You start with your basic wrapper div. And by the way, if you're listening to this podcast, I'll just say no. I'm going to let you know right now, I am actually going through and showing the code, and this may be a little bit more of a visual of a podcast. So if you're listening in, you might be able to understand some of the concepts, but I might not do the best job ever as describing. I'm going to try to do it as best I can, but this might be helpful to check out the video podcast as well. But basically, the basic premise is this. You have your standard wrapper div, right? And you're going to put a max width on it to whatever you want your desktop layout to be. So in Mark's example, he has max width of 600 pixels, margin zero auto to center it. And then he has text align center for that div as well, which will be important that we'll talk about later. He then uses a bunch of Microsoft Word specific CSS to manipulate the layout. So the first thing he does is he uses MSO-element-frame-width, which is the same exact width that you want your max width to be, whatever that desktop width is. So in his example, he does 600 pixels. And what Outlook does at this point is it actually converts divs into a table. So at least for that parent wrapper element, that actually gets converted to a table on the Word rendering engine side. And he uses MSO-element with a value of para-border-div as a way to do basically, there's no method of doing multiple columns inside this wrapper table right now, which is one of the limitations to this technique in Outlook. But he uses this so that you can essentially add a table inside there. And then he centers the table because otherwise it's just left aligned. He does MSO-element-left with a value of center. And that actually sort of like acts as a margin zero auto in a sense. And then to stop additional content floating alongside, it's MSO-element-wrap with a value of no-wrap-beside. So that stops any floating content around the areas. And that's it. It's really those four elements to where you can get a centered table in Outlook. And the thing about all the other clients, contrary to popular belief, you don't need tables for all of the other clients. The only rendering engine that needs a table for its layout is Microsoft Outlook today. So that's one of the common myths. It's only because of the Word rendering engine that's used in Outlook 2007 to modern day Outlook 2016 on Windows, and then Windows 10 Mail, which are the only clients where you need tables. The rest, you can use divs and it's going to be supported just fine. So that's it. It's an MSO element frame width 600 or whatever the desktop value is, MSO element para border div, MSO element left value of center, MSO element wrap with a value of no wrap beside. Those four values will get you a centered table, which is really awesome. So let me actually pull up the email now at this point that we did for Litmus here so that you can see it. in action. Here's what it looks like. Again, because we haven't cracked the multi-column layout without using tables yet in Word, this was a fully single-column layout. But you can see we really just made them into big, colorful boxes that really popped. And honestly, even though it's one column, you wouldn't have really noticed that this email didn't use tables. Hopefully that's the case anyway. So let me actually run the previews here, pull this up so you can see what it actually looks like in Outlook. It's a little bit, you know, things in Outlook don't always look as good as everywhere else, obviously. Would have liked it to have been maybe a little bit cleaner, be able to go full width on some of the previews with the color sections maybe. But if I just pull up Outlook 2007 here, you can see, for example, we have the bar at the top for our banner message that we wanted to be full width and to stand out. But then you can see the wrapper table of our layout, which we use 800 pixels for our layout just to give it that a little bit more space there. You can see it comes all the way down. You'll notice this little gap here I'll talk about in a minute. But pretty much your standard one column layout, email here, and not the most beautiful looking thing ever, but I would say this is completely acceptable and suitable for Outlook. And then everywhere else, it's literally going to be just a nice one column layout all the way from mobile, all the way up to desktop. It's going to mirror exactly what you see here in the browser view, which is really nice. And I mean, just look at this gorgeous code on the left-hand side here. Let me just start up here at the top. I mean, just no tables. Look at this. No tables. Nothing in the structure in the markup. It was an absolute dream to have to build and work with an email this way. I did not have any ghost tables haunting my nightmares for this one. Not at all. So everything was just super easy to read, highly semantic. And yeah, you'll notice that it's just very lightweight. This is the original version 2. We use partials and CSS inlining as part of our development process at Limis, which makes things easier. So again, let me just high level, we sort of have this div class of frame, which we wrap everything as sort of our background color for the entire email. Basically use that for Yahoo because Yahoo doesn't like the body. Then we did a background color section if it was colored. And then nested inside of that div would be our wrapper for each and every section. So you'll notice if I collapse this down, you'll notice we sort of have, you know, a div with our spacing added when there is no color, just a solid sort of gray color background. And then there would be the wrapper inside of everything nested inside there. That's kind of the entire convention that followed all the way through. And for our wrapper div, again, the exact same thing that Mark talked about. We had our max width, then we did our margin zero auto, text align center, and then our MSO element frame width. MSO element with a value of paired border div, MSO element left with the value of center, and MSO element wrap with no wrap beside. And it's just as simple as that, really. Again, max width, it's going to be supported everywhere else. So is margin zero auto. And we didn't have to worry about fixed widths because it's kind of mobile first, right? There's no set width here. So it just takes up 100% for mobile, and then it just gets constrained by the max width here. And we didn't have to use ghost tables at all because we used this one column sort of MSO hack. So I guess the things I wrote about and the things I mentioned in this community article here, again, this technique, it only works with one column layouts. We weren't able to crack multi-column support without tables. So you could do multi-columns, you just have to use ghost tables or actual tables. Another issue I ran into was the Outlook page break bug, which I've never run into this before. I know a lot of other email geeks have, but typically our content's pretty minimal or very sectioned out at Litmus. So it's something historically in my 5 years of doing email, I haven't run into. To get around that, what we did was, is we just inserted an empty table. So yes, there were three tables used in this email, but they were completely ghost and they were completely empty. They just had a little non-breaking space tag in it. And this was simply used to break up the content. Without these, we ran into the page break bug and the content would essentially be cut off and stopped without it. This was just used as a method to break the sections up so that Outlook could actually render and view the whole email. And that's what, when you come in and look at the previews, that's what these tiny little gaps shown inside of it. I haven't really had experience before in trying to hide a table in Outlook that's empty. So I want to explore that. I also was just kind of up against a deadline and wasn't expecting to run into this bug. So I just threw it in there and just lived with these tiny little gaps in a few places for the email and said, okay, whatever. It's not breaking the email. It's not a big deal. So let me know if you know of what would be even better, a CSS way of solving this page break bug, or if there's a better way than what I'm just doing of just using a style or inline styling, a font size, height, and align height of 0 of how to like hide this empty table cell. And let me just show you, I mean, what the actual compiled, like what the process rendered HTML looks like on that Outlook side. You'll see when I actually pull it up here, the reason is because it uses at the very top, it converts this wrapper table. You'll notice, filling dead air, always fun. Here we go. After our pre-header text and then our sort of banner that we had, it converts it into a, you know, that table, but then literally everything else nested underneath that, it keeps all the semantic elements, it keeps all of the you know, sort of the divs for the most part, even though they're empty and stripped of styling. But it just creates essentially one really long table. It doesn't really break it up into multiple tables after that for the most part. And that's why we ran into the page break bug and needed something to like sort of just break up that table. So that was an interesting finding and something that once you got into a real email with real content, you're like, oh, well, we're gonna have to break this up somehow. This was something we didn't foresee when you're just playing around with this layout technique with just some, you know, dummy Lipsum content or images, right? Another frustrating thing I ran into is that I didn't find many methods to control horizontal or vertical spacing. So in a traditional table structure, there's a lot of word specific CSS and you have that hard shell of table cells to control the padding and the margins, right? Everything's very structured and very shelled up for you to target different points for spacing. But one of the things that I found with this is that the traditional hacks that I like to use, which by the way, Stig has a good repository of all of these if you aren't familiar with them. But you can do MSO-padding-alt or MSO-margin-alt. I just didn't find as those types of hacks that I'm so used to working with actually being applicable once there wasn't any tables around things to manipulate. I noticed that once the content was really just free-flowing and semantic, it didn't like those elements. And the vertical spacing wasn't as bad because I just inserted ghost breaks for Outlook to control vertical spacing. I guess you could try to set fixed height divs, but I don't think those are reliable in their values with Outlook. I want to do more playing around with that. But especially for the horizontal spacing, that was hard because there really wasn't anything that I could think of quickly anyways to add that spacing. So you'll see in Outlook, what was nice about making this one column and centering the text was you could sort of fake horizontal padding just off the regular line breaks and the word breaks that would happen. But you'll see in instances of some that really come flush to the edge, would have liked something to have existed there to break up the spacing. But I just couldn't think of anything because it's not really going to respect the padding with the background color on the main tables here or the main div wrappers. And since we're not using table cells, there wasn't anything horizontally in the layout to really control. So I want to play around with that more. Maybe this is actually a good reason. Maybe spacer gifs, I didn't use that as a method to play around with, but maybe that's an area to where we could hack around with some spacing as well. That was a downside to this layout and Outlook that I saw. But those are really the key things that I ran into. Everything else was pretty much a dream because everything else, you're just using divs. And literally in all the other email clients, I mean, if I just pull this up, I mean, if I go to like Obviously, if I go to iPhone, it's going to look gorgeous and just be a nice one column layout here, kind of render just as expected in the browser. I mean, even something in a client like Gmail, which is going to be more of the desktop, you're going to see it behaves just the same. No box shadow for Gmail, but not a massive deal. That was just a slight enhancement. I just wanted to take the time to show you that you can actually continue to innovate. If you don't want to use tables, you don't have to. I actually think that this layout method is actually perfect for transactional emails that don't use as much code and are probably more often going to be one column layouts. So we'll actually be looking to probably overhaul our own transactional emails at Limus to use this core structure. Obviously, for something like our newsletter like this, it does make the content a bit lengthier, maybe not always ideal for one column. But honestly, we didn't get any feedback that people didn't notice that we didn't use tables. We had a little link down at the very bottom to say, hey, we went tableless just to see what the reaction was like. But overall, most people didn't notice. They thought it was pretty much a regular email. We did get just a couple of tickets about Outlook. We noticed that there was actually maybe different rendering in the preview pane for this, as opposed to just the regular view, which we'll have to investigate a little bit further. But otherwise, this was, I mean, an absolute dream just to use actual semantic markup using divs, using paragraph tags, link tags, etc. It was a ton of fun, and I definitely recommend everybody try this out because it is possible. And if partials weren't so embedded into our workflow, to where we need inlining to strip out unused CSS. We don't have any other minification as a part of our process in Builder. You could also just not inline your CSS as well to see how that would go. That would probably be a next level experiment that we'd like to try at Limus. Not only we've done no inline CSS, we've done no tables now. It'd be really cool to merge them together to say, hey, no tables and no inline CSS. I'd love to have everybody poke through the code that we use for this, read up on the community discussion I started around it. Definitely chime in with your comments as well. I mean, let me know, what are your thoughts? Did you notice that we didn't use tables? Are you interested in trying this out? Were you shocked by this? Are you not considering this because it's just too foreign for you? Do you have any thoughts around the page break bug? I'm just kind of throwing it out there. I thought it'd be really cool just to dive through this really quickly with you and see what your thoughts are. We're always looking to just continue to try new stuff with our monthly newsletter. So yeah, hit us up. And I guess that's going to do it for this edition. I've done enough rambling. I wanted to keep it relatively short. Just go through it. I use Limus Builder. Again, if you aren't familiar, limus.com/email-builder. And this uses Litmus. So you can go to litmus.com/gift card, input the coupon code podcast for a free 14-day trial of Litmus. Again, it's a full email creative platform where you can build, test, and analyze your emails. Again, you can see what your email looks like. And we have over 90 different email clients now. So everything from Outlook to Gmail to iPhone, we've got you covered, really. You can do final tests and checklists, get approvals with your team, and even analyze, get analytics to see where your subscribers are opening and how long they stayed engaged for. I couldn't live without it. So limus.com/gift card, coupon code podcast. And hey, check us out. emaildesignpodcast.com, full show notes and links all right there. Past episodes of the podcast as well. We're over 90, just like our number of email clients. Tweet along with hashtag email design podcast. Hit me up with questions there at Kevin Mandeville on Twitter, and subscribe on SoundCloud, YouTube, and iTunes. Get the podcast as soon as it drops. All right, email geeks, it's been fun. We'll see you next week.